Now I want to take a closer look at what happens after retirement. As the baby boom generation is getting older, there's been more and more focus on the challenge of aging. And there's been a lot of attention recently on how to take care of these seniors, how to manage their medical and financial and emotional needs, as well as your own. But our next guest says, hold on there a minute, young blood. With all this focus on helping adult children cope, is anybody asking the seniors themselves for their take? That's why writer Judy Oppenheimer published her piece in Slate. It's titled Not Dead Yet, The Trials of Being, Not Caring for, Not Dealing with, But Being an Aging Parent. And Judy is with us now. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Your piece starts with the certain look that you say that people give to their aging parents or other seniors. And so for those who have not been privy to the look, what's the look?
It's a kind of a, you know, serious pained expression that comes over your children generally, your grown children, when they think maybe you've forgotten something or you've said something a little silly. And actually the piece kind of grew out of this look.
Did your kids give you the look?
I have received the look.
You have received the look? Was there something where you couldn't find your keys or something? Or what was it that occasioned the look?
It was something when actually it was thought that I was wrong about something and I wasn't wrong. But after receiving the look now and then, I spoke with it about it with some of my friends who are my age. And everybody was familiar with this look.
It said just that, you know, the bad times might be
This might be happening. Everything that they're talking about in the media, everything we're reading about lately, because there's been such an uptick, as you say, in attention to this.
But how can I say this? But there is cause for concern, isn't there? I mean, the fact of the matter is people are living a lot longer. There is concern that their savings might not last.
And that
something bad can happen really fast.
No question. I think the attention is a good thing. I just think that there's another side that has to be looked at, too.
Well, what is that side? Tell
us
more.
Well, the point is this society has never really been one that prized the elderly. You know, some societies have in the past, you know, for their intelligence and their combined knowledge, but not here, not in America. So all we need is to add to this. And this attitude that I think is pervasive a little bit, that, you know, at a certain point or after a certain point, we become childlike and lose our ability to make any decisions at all. I mean, there were some articles around that sort of float around the last holidays about the holidays are a good time to talk to mom and dad about how they're failing or decisions that we want to make together. It's a great idea to talk. It really is. But I think with this attention, it's making people very aware of what could happen. And
also your feeling is you're kind of becoming seen as a problem and not a person.
Exactly.
How would you recommend people approach these conversations? You don't disagree that these conversations need to happen, right? That people need to be, they need to discuss
what
their wishes are.
Not only do I think they should be happen, I think that they're just as often should be, you know, initiated by the older people themselves. Why not?
How would you recommend people toe that line or walk that line between being concerned and then crossing that line into being patronizing and then treating you like an object instead of like a person?
It's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because the way these things are written, there's something patronizing about it to begin with, and something viewing your parent as childlike. You know, somebody was telling me about a recent ad they saw on TV, and this is these commercials, you know, which showed a mother and her daughter, very concerned about the grandparents, both of whom were wandering around with vague looks in their face. I know these things happen. I mean, I dealt with elderly parents myself. I actually dealt with my father had Alzheimer's. It was a terrible thing. So I know that attention needs to be paid. But I think also there's another side to this. It's not getting coverage.
And you think that the part of it is kind of to hasten the idea of kind of dealing with people to kind of get them out of the way as opposed to living with the fullness of them. But, you know, what do you say to people who say, actually, this country is, maybe culturally we're biased toward the young, but politically we're very much biased toward the old.
Well, that's true.
I mean, the vast majority of resources in healthcare go to seniors. That's a fact at the very end of life.
True.
And that people say that. So how would you recommend that? I mean, do seniors have any responsibility for kind of balancing that out themselves or not? I mean, you may not.
Well, they should, but everybody should be part of the conversation is what I feel the most. You know, it shouldn't just be people doing unto others and making decisions for them.
What is your main kind of peeve about this? I know that I read the piece. One of the things you talked about is this assumption that all your knowledge has somehow become useless. I mean, you talked about you know, too many of you assume we know nothing as befits anyone on their way out about raising children. You said one of my friends raised three of them and is a pediatric nurse who operated a wellness clinic and served as a professor at two medical schools. However, at 70, how could she know anything about babies? Once when she was attempting to calm her crying six-month-old grandson, she flipped on the TV to distract him. It worked immediately. But a few minutes later, she heard a key in the door and she nearly wrenched her back trying to get the TV turned off before her son and daughter-in-law got inside, because all TV is bad for babies, no matter what, you know, or when. So that's one pet peeve, is people treating you as if kind of your brain has just been washed away to nothing. But what else?
Well, the thing is, the things have changed. It's true. I mean, there are things that I look back, you know, the kind of car seats we had our kids in, like I said, the fact that nobody ever wore a helmet. That's not good. I'm all for all these changes. It's great. I'm more for people being more careful. But there's this attitude, because we raised our kids in a different time, I feel there's an attitude that we don't, therefore,
know
we're
anything.
Wrong on every level.
So
you know?
To use a completely inappropriate analogy, just too much throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Exactly. Yes.
So how would you recommend we fix this? I mean, what would be the way to start making these conversations be more respectful?
Well, it would be very nice if people were actually able, if the elderly, the older people were actually able to talk about this. Say, you know, look, don't treat me like I'm losing it, because I'm not yet, or I haven't completely, and I do have some good ideas. But that's not going to happen, usually, probably, because we tiptoe around our kids a great deal, our adult kids. You know, we tend to. I mean, we don't want to put them off. We don't want to mess up any access to grandchildren. So we don't tend to say things like this.
I know this is a bit of a cliche, but do you think that the culture would help? I mean, would TV help? Would movies help if seniors were viewed in a way other than as sort of objects to be pitied? I mean, there have been a couple of movies where let's say former CIA agents coming out of retirement and having a whale of a time, like showing people what's what, you know, that sort of thing. Does something like that
Eastwood
help?
Clint Eastwood coming out. It helps for the moment. You know, I don't know if it helps on any grand scale, but it would be nice if there was more of that. It would be nice if we could see, even in commercials, now and then, an intelligent comment from an elderly person. Because here's the thing, as I mentioned, you know, this horrible statistic that after 85, half of us supposedly are showing some signs of dementia, which means half of us aren't. And the fact is, my father had Alzheimer's, but also in my family, I can just reel off about five cousins who are in their 90s, who are living on their own, who are just as bright and together as they ever were. So it's a two-way street, you know?
What kind of responses have you gotten to the piece? I couldn't help but notice that a lot of them were very critical.
Very critical.
What were some of the things that people said?
There were a lot of comments, so I hit a nerve for a lot of people for some reason. Some of them called me narcissistic, which I didn't feel made that much sense, and bitter. And one of the ones that I really loved called me a liar, because nobody my age could have small grandchildren. But I do, so they can, because...
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, what do you make of it?
I don't know. That I hit a nerve, and, you know, on both sides, probably.
That people are afraid, maybe.
Maybe so. I mean, there were people who understood completely what I was trying to say. And some of the other people said that, you know, maybe I was trying to be funny. Well, yeah.
It was funny. Well, how did I do, Judy? Did I give you the respect that you deserve?
You did, Michelle, and I'm so pleased, because I've always enjoyed your show. And I've got to say this before I get off. You have one of the greatest voices in radio. I love listening to your voice.
Oh, well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but thank you for that. I just wanted to be sure that I gave you your propers. That was writer Judy Oppenheimer. Her piece in Slate is titled Not Dead Yet, and she was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Judy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Michelle.